Plowman, Reel 5. What happened after you arrived at the station at Sukalabor?
We went by a lot of trucks to up as far as Gordon, which was to a place called Tallyho Kong, a mere test tour, which is not far from Major's. And the regiment were then resting on the Gulag Plain. And as I mentioned, there were three of us, two subalterns, and this Captain Waller, who had been a territorial and then had been an instructor at Sandhurst.
Hang on a minute. You were saying the regiment was resting on the Gubilat Plain.
Yes. The three of us went up and reported to the adjutant. He told us that the commanding officer, Lieutenant Colonel Peter Payne Goldberg, was away. Getting the orders for the final plan. And he shared us the orders back. And of course, what surprised us when they arrived was seeing all these vehicles about in desert trim as opposed to the camouflage that's used in northwestern Europe.
What sort of condition were the vehicles in, apart from being painted a different colour?
Well, I saw it was not in too bad order, but that didn't strike me. The 7th Armour Division had come out with a job. One or two other divisions from the 8th Army. Anyway, the adjutant showed us the order back as it was at the time. Was very welcoming, which was rather different from England, where new people were always treated with some reserve. Anyway, the colonel came, of course, and said, I'm sorry, you two will have to go back to call deliverance for them because I've got too many supernumerary officers already. But I've got a job for you, Hugh, as the head master in the forthcoming battle. Which is a great disappointment, but anyway, so we went back to the two others, went back to Gold Delivery Squadron.
How far back was that from the regiment's location?
Not all that far. I mean, I got 10, 15 miles. Yes.
What impression did you get of the Gubilat Plain when you were on it?
Well, nothing much, except that it seemed rather quite flat, and all the mountains in the distance. After the campaign, I went with a party to see the country around the Gournay. And at that time, well, I don't know whether we were flying in the front of this vehicle or the back, I can't remember that. We didn't see much.
Was the squadron up to strength in its vehicles, according to the Orbat shown you by the adjutant?
And I don't remember, but certainly officer to the office. Because it was very useful to have new officers, well, a second officer in the troop. There were two friends of mine that were in that position. One was in the first trip to enter Tunis. There's casualties would come thick and fast, and then the reinforcements would come and take their place, and then there'd be a lot of them. There were vacancies all the time. Anyway, we went back to CDS, as they called it, and very soon we had opening of the bombardment and planes going over, and we knew that the battle had begun. And then in due course they heard that the Germans had collapsed. But we remained where we were left there. Rather poor tentage and a very desolate spot. Very hot. And by that, and with volume of flies.
What was at Corps Delivery Squadron? What did it consist of?
We had four troops, one for each army division, the 10th-6th Brigade, and one for the Derbyshire Army. And Captain Leslie was in charge of the DY troop. He'd been the first non-Derbyshire territorial to join the road. I had troops, as it were, within the troop, you might find it what we call them now, but my job was to individual training. Part of the battle, we occupied ourselves as best we could in that way, and there was a good deal of sport. We had no facilities much.
Roughly what numbers of men were there at the delivery squadron?
I think there could have been 100. Rather vague about that. There were several from the Indian Corps. I recognised them when I became the Indian Corps in the ranks. Up to 100. I really couldn't do it in trouble now.
What about vehicles? What did they have in the way of?
They were undercars and number of undercars and scout cars, containing scout cars. And the part of the job of the squadron was to keep vehicles serviced and so on, to replenish, not to replenish the regiments as they had. Tank knocked out on the car.
Do you remember if the Derbyshires needed any new vehicles and crews during that final battle?
Afterwards, yes, they were brought up to some car, so they had some losses. Not many, because that was just. The Germans gave up. The Derbyshire Army, what was always a great dispute was to who got in first. The garbage year, and all the events deserved, so they didn't deserve, because being first in everywhere else, and, they were given more queens by some on that account, but in the end, it was gone into so carefully that they decided they both got there about the same time. But they drove into Tunis, and they were German based troops walking about in the street. The Germans had claimed to get bombed. Was kept on, was it? The fighting troops with a view to making that the last bastion of the fact that they were overwhelmed and collapsed. Teams fell on the 7th of May, you know, and it was all over by the 14th.
You mentioned that you had some soldiers from the Inns of Court Yeomanry.
Yeah.
What other regiments were they drawn from? Were they drawn from a wide range of regimental sources?
Yeah, I think the others would come and say, I mean, there would have been a lot of one. Some of the history, but for the most part, I believe the corps will direct from training. Or, I was a young man, sick, and the couple and then waiting to get back to the army.
What sort of training were you able to do with them?
All the basics, driving and gambling and tactical exercises. Two armored cars and two scout cars. Map reading. And I was responsible for having a training program, keeping them occupied and improving their individual skills.
Did you have an individual troop of your own to train up and look after? How many men were in that?
I should say, well, it's certainly straight to the north of the country, which was something like that. Yeah, I had more men to look after than that, but I afraid it's rather vague. We had several officers. The people who either been wounded or were battle time. They've been in the campaign. Four or five, but not six. And there only one went back to the nation. The others found any employment. Well, there was this thing of officers' battle, not quite filling the bill as fighting troop leaders. And sometimes they were rude and unfairly, really, but they were given the blame for something that was unavoidable. But maybe one of the superior officers thought he was worried about whether he was up to it or not before this incident, and that would be enough. As far as we were concerned, they were all set, so we never got to know the story. I mean, I mentioned their names to the away as time went on, and some were perfectly well filled up, and some were thought unsuitable for that kind of population.
Did you find there was a clear division in the troop between the old sweats and the new arrivals?
Well, certainly as a new arrival, I was kept fully employed, and they rather sat back and waited for their next orders. Mm. They may have left out of there to them to the and may well have left at the end of the time. Mm.
You said that you had some rather poor tentage for accommodation.
Oh, yeah.
What was the food like at Corps Delivery?
Not really exciting. By July, Captain Leslie was quite an experienced mess officer. In fact, the story goes that the whole regiment was shaken up by the appointment of Colonel Fire Palmer. They had some exercise in the south of England, and possibly it was a chief, a big chief, and he'd just been on a medicine course, and the sergeant command asked him in front of all others, what would the men have to eat? Where would the officers be billeted and so on? And what would the men have to eat? And he was expecting to tell them all the officers would be in the large houses around the fires, and the men would have come to be. And the food would be quite bad, and everything else. And Captain Leslie hopped on his messing course, and then he said, if you've got time, we'll get bullet beef and biscuits for breakfast. So there won't be much time for any midday meal, and then we might get some bullet beef and biscuits. But now it was horrified that he learned something about the fish. It was a bit early habits, so after. Anyway, he looked after us and the regiment very well. I mean, he was very conscientious about keeping in touch with the squadron leaders, finding out what sort of men they wanted, what weapons they wanted. And from my point of view, neither Adam nor us became, from what I remember, I became this one too IC. I really don't remember what all the others were doing.
Was there any sign of the civilian population?
Well, there was a French house there, and we would be invited. I think they were the Grand Family, and we used to be squad there, and the two daughters and the cousin or two. We used to have a dance in this large room, and I remember being rather wild at the moment. That arm was large and held a bit elbow at the rear at that start, and then he swelled and limbs, and they all went obviously water travel, and I was so scared that the polter or something like that I might catch up with it. But yes, that what did enliven the proceedings. That was our really only contact with civilization. And they were always paired with the rest of the best army. So I mean, sailing on the beach and then at that on some more resorts a few weeks after the battle.
What was your next move then? What happened after the final battle was over and The Germans had.
They rested. The division, 600 division rested. And they were rested in a pleasant village of Hanover. And some of the others, the Germans, others, and myself, we went for one long weekend. He went to Brixton and I went to Brixton. I had the opportunity to go to the Bardi and to General Gourmet, and they wanted to go over to that back end, which is a big one, a difficult line of weapons to dance across this plain, sitting ducks. And then,
how was that organised? Was that organised as a tour with a historical commentary, or was it run as a sort of toot?
No, just they'd be there.
Yes.
Each had a different aspect of the terrain and the battle and so on, and they'd be there. And they wanted to see what it was like on the other side. They had General Kearney and.
So they want to look at the German side of it rather than the Allied side.
Yeah. And I found it fascinating. It was a bit of an uplift, but otherwise it was back to Berryhill Corner. But we were pretty much forgotten for it. And but the time came, I think sometime in June, 600 we moved to to train in Bristol to be used in the breakthrough, should there be a breakthrough. And I think it was rather unfortunate that one of the transit areas was was blamed for a lot of the disease, a lot of the malaria that followed. And I missed that. So, eventually they settled between Constantine and the Philippines.
What sort of country was it down there?
Orange.
For citrus.
Yes. And not being able to go and help themselves.
Oh.
And one of the elves, a man, Constantine, was a wonderful man. And a beautiful setting where he was called. He left him from some of the human quarters. And we, tedious, sometimes we were never talked of as tedious, temporary Bristol, and sometimes cordial Bristol. We eventually moved up to just outside Constantine. And
how did you make that move? Did you drive it?
Yes. And we had a Jeep which was very much an help for horses. It developed engine trouble. The fair was that we had to get back to base workshops in Cairo, and we couldn't see it. And it would be without him. And anyway, I took it to an American camp to see if they would service it, give it new pistons, and rebuild it. And I went up to this can see these roses, shards, and other mud cones available. Americans, my poor chap, you know, chaps are some of the improvised tent, bivouacs. And anyway, they looked at it and they said, oh, no, I won't get you one, you won't. Because it amazed me.
Was this the first time you'd seen the Americans?
Yes. I drove away with a new engine. And then, they still received orders. And they were in this old British revolution. And there was a certain amount of tent issue, most of it captured.
Was that of good quality, the Italian tentage?
Beginning, I had had one of them, and we got the Sirocco. And after the wind, we got the rain. And this water flowed down either side of, roared down either side of my bivouac. Last there, two officers who had one of these captured Italian tents that took pity on me and they took me in. But that's how things were.
Had you seen anything of the Germans or Italians yourself? Had you seen anything of the Germans or the Italians yourself? Had you seen?
No, I mean, when I went to Hampton, I was a kid, prisoner of war,
what impression did you get of them?
Well, it seems like a lot of sunbathing in the Germans. I even heard it suggested that that had sapped their energy to some degree. But I mean, I don't really know what was happening either. But they were a bit sullen, they don't know what the world they had, you know, they didn't give them any chance. I didn't see any Italians, but one of my squadron leaders took the surrender of General Missing. He wanted to surrender with the full honors of war. And the servant leader passed this on to the commanding officer, who passed it on to the divisional headquarters, and the message came back, unconditional surrender or nothing. So that's what happened. And then the commanding officer asked him, few of these Italian high-ranking officers to dinner. They had dinner to them at night before they went off to the prison of York. And I don't think that went down very well with the authorities. Anyway, by then in June or July, we were back in Algeria, and when I joined the regiment, they were just beginning to convert from armored cars to tanks.
What appointment were you given when you finally joined the regiment?